Ready.
Welcome to episode 47 of the Go Get 'Em Agility podcast. My name is Margaret Hughes, and I'm your host, along with my daughter, Emma Hughes.
Hi.
Today, we're talking about targets. So in the last podcast that we did, the top five things for handlers and dogs, one of my things that I discussed was two target training. So I wanted to expand on target training and the use of target training and agility, the pros of it. Currently, I can't think of any cons to target training. There's some training that's involved to prevent cons, but so right now, top of my head, I can't think of any bad things about target training. Actually, I do have a couple of bad things. So yeah, let me write those down real quick. All right. So last time, so two target training, that one's also called Vito's game. But I also use targets, a lot of different types of targets. So I'll use two targets that are like yogurt lids or cottage cheese lids. I'll also do a one target training things with just one target. I do loaded target plates. I do unloaded target plates. I do manners minders. So an electronic treat dispenser. They're also called, they used to be called manners minders. Now they're called a treat and train, but there's other variations of electronic food dispensers out there. The treat and train is with a remote control. So you can control it with the press of a button. You can do a toy target. Any other targets that we can think of?
I don't think so. Actually, I have a question. So, I used to train with giant chunks of white cheese. Now, would me throwing a chunk of cheese behind Dot, telling her to get it, and then taking off running to start a sequence or whatever we're doing, would that be considered a target?
No.
Okay.
I would just consider that a get it or a a reset cookie or a way to get them away from you so that you can go and do something else.
I guess that was a poor example. So let's say Dot and I have finished a sequence and I want to reward her and I throw the cheese in roughly in the same spot each time to reward her. Is that considered a target? Because she knows kind of where the area where it's going to appear, but there's no actual physical thing on the ground that's saying, hey, this is where your food's going to appear.
No, I wouldn't consider that a target either, but that is a well-established reward area.
Yeah.
Would be very beneficial, right? So like a treat pouch.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, or like the Lotus Ball.
Well, Lotus Ball could be a consider. If you pre-placed a Lotus Ball out there.
Oh, no, I'm talking about you throw it and it has food in it.
So that would just be a reward.
Right.
But if the Lotus Ball is pre-placed, then it's a target.
Right. Well, but that's the same as a toy, kind of. I mean, I know toys don't have food, but it's still a physical object, which they can see.
So what in my world, what makes it a target is it's a distinct place that the dog knows about prior to doing what we're asking them to do.
Right. Regardless of if there's food in it or not, or a reward, you know, whatever in it, they know that it's there. So like you can have unloaded target plates and such.
Correct. So a loaded target plate would be the same as a loaded Lotus Ball.
Yeah.
It's just an unloaded target plate is they're drawn to the unloaded target plate because they've had a lot of reward history
food
there.
Food has appeared there in the past.
So you could use a bait pouch, a treat pouch, and just throw that on the ground, and that could become your target plate.
Right.
You could use a Tupperware container with a lid on it. That could become your target place.
You actually see people do that a lot at trials. When they have food on the table, you know, you're allowed to have that table where you can keep your food for, you know, whatever runs. And people say, get it. And the dog will find their Tupperware and they'll be like, look, it's right here.
Yeah, but again, that's more of, they're not running to.
No, it's not a predisposed target. But my point is that the dog sees the Tupperware and they're like, that is mine. And food has come out of that in the past.
Yes.
Anyway, that's kind of beside the point.
So you're talking more of a reward placement.
Right.
And the powerful thing about having a reward table at a trial is that it becomes a predictor of rewards.
Right.
And that is how target plates work, is that it's a predictor of a reward.
Right.
And one of the reasons that target plates can be so powerful in training is because it helps dogs understand the predictability of reinforcement.
Right.
And that is one of the main factors in dog training, is dogs are able to predict what causes a reward to happen, where the reward is coming from, and how they gain access to it. All right, so why are target plates so powerful? Dogs perform better when they understand the reward structure. So they learn, they understand how they can get it, when they can get it, and the behaviors that are associated around a good reward structure become stronger,
mm-hmm.
right? If a reward becomes a reliable outcome for behavior that they're performing, then they're more likely to try.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas if they don't think anything's in it for them, they'll generally give up. So, you know, the target plate becomes a reward station, essentially, which is a predictor that good things are going to happen, right? Yeah. So they're more likely to do things in order to make the cookies appear on the target plate or get the cookies that are already on the target plate. All right, so I train different behaviors in agility or different skills in agility utilizing different target structures. So when I'm doing a two-target structure, I'm almost always building value for an obstacle.
Like a jump, or I think you did it on the tire.
Yeah, tunnels.
Anything, literally anything.
Literally anything. And so the two-target structure is the two targets are on either side of me, and the dog has to do whatever's in between them. So whether that be go around a cone, go over a target mat, contact mat.
This is Vito's game. And if you look it up on the internet, you will get results. So basically, I'm trying to give a visual because it's kind of confusing at first to hear it. So I'm sitting down cross-legged. You don't have to be sitting, but I'm sitting cross-legged on the ground. And in front of me, perpendicular to my body, is a jump wing. And on my left and right side, right by my legs, are two targets. And you ask the dog to eat from one target, go around the jump that's in front of you, and then eat from the other target. And so basically what you do is, have you ever seen those ticking clocks of the flowers? And it goes tick, 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 and they move back and forth. That's basically what you're doing. So you're...
No idea what you just taught.
Yeah,
ticking flowers?
Oh my God, never mind. You know those clocks that are like that?
No.
Oh, Granddad used to have a ton of them. Anyway, but you're dropping food. You're not moving a ton. You're just moving like maybe your wrists and your hands and your fingers.
Yeah, you're just loading. You're putting the target, as the dog performs the task, you're putting a cookie down on or near the target right. plate.
And well, it builds value for the obstacle because you're not moving enough to give them...
Information.
Yeah, that's a good word. Yeah. Information for the obstacle.
Yeah, and one thing that you said is that when you're sitting down on the floor, you said that you're asking them to go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, they're offering it.
Right.
So yeah. You're not saying anything.
No.
And you're only helping them if they start to get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If they start to leave the game. And so you've taken the... You've advanced it a little bit on adding a jump stanchion.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's layers to this of training, starting with, you know, no obstacle, building in a single jump stanchion, then building in more jump stanchions or tunnels or tire. And literally you can have the dog do five obstacles between these two target plates.
Yeah.
Right. There's movement puzzles is one way that kind of builds that as well. And so while I think that some movement puzzles have limitations, I think there's also great value gained in some movement puzzle types. I think the dogs don't regulate their speed, and so some movement puzzles I think can actually be dangerous because they gain too much speed. But essentially a movement puzzle is going from one target plate around a series of cones with things or obstacles to another target plate. So, yeah, but just learning the structure of going from one target plate to the other and doing something in between is the basis of two target training. And you really can go a long way, just the dog understanding, go from here to there, back to here, back to there. And eventually you can even just get rid of the target plates.
Yeah.
Right. But the dog understands going back and forth from one side of you to the other because they've done it so many times. So that's two target training. Then how do you utilize? So, well, I'll talk about how I utilize one target.
Okay.
So still a yogurt lid, still a cottage cheese lid. And so one target I use for sends. So a go.
Yeah, go on a jump or something, yeah, or a tunnel.
I use it for where I want the dog on the drive line. So I'll put the target plate on a drive line. So let's say that I was doing a slight curve of obstacles. My dog's struggling with hitting a certain obstacle, the target plate would be in line with that next obstacle. So let's say that I wanted to send my dog on a 90-degree turn into a tunnel entrance on a straight tunnel. The target plate would be at the exit right where I wanted my dog to keep driving to. Okay, so I would send them on a 90 into a 90-degree entrance, and they would shoot straight out. But I could also teach them to turn 90 degrees on the exit by placing the target plate to the left of the exit, right? Or to the right of the exit, depending on which way I wanted them to turn. So teaching them that they can turn tight on an exit. So that's the drive line, is where I want them to drive out of an obstacle, that direction. Let me give you another example. I'm teaching Eli a check, 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 which means collect for the jump and take it on a 90-degree turn. So collect and turn tight on the jump. So I would use it on, like, if I was going to do a threadle on a 180, right? So you have two jumps side by side. You wanted a really tight turn on the first jump and then into a threadle for the next jump. Or I don't want them to jump wide. I want a tighter jump. And so I will put the reward, or so either the toy target or a food target, literally in line with the jump, but 90 degrees from the entrance of the jump, right? So they would jump the full face of the jump, but in collection, turning hard right and getting to the target plate. So that would be single target plate jumping specifically. Well, you used it specifically to train a tight turn. You used a single target on threadles
and backsides. Yeah.
So the dog, the target plate is on the drive line of where you wanted them to land.
Right.
I use them on jumps, wraps, backsides for distance. Yeah. So what I do with a single plate is the plate is next to me. I'm between, so it goes plate, me, dog. Okay. And I'll either whatever jump I want, either jump first, then turn around the wing, or backside, then take the jump. Either one of those, this works, is the target plate is preloaded next to me. I send the dog to the jump, tell them to get it, and then I take the target plate backwards with me.
Mm-hmm.
So increasing my distance from the jump is the target plate keeps coming back with me.
That's like when you're a kid learning to swim and they're like, come on, come swim to me, your swim instructor, and they're only 2 feet away, and then they keep backing up the closer you get to them. Oh, you're so mean to Eli. I'm trying to understand. So if the target plate is sitting next to you the whole time, you would have to have a pre-trained distance cue. So if you've never trained distance.
No, you can just do jump, jump, jump. Just keep your jump cue going. Or you get back cue. You start where you're good.
Yeah.
And okay. Then you go back, depending on how savvy your dog is, you either go back every foot or you go back, you know, every couple of feet.
Right.
Right?
But you could also do that without a target plate.
Right, but the target plate...
It takes you out of the equation as the hand that feeds them.
That's the point.
Right, but I'm just saying that it's you can also, you don't have to use a target plate for that to be successful. Because that's how Don and I trained backsides, but I didn't use a target plate.
So what the target plate does, different than what a handler does, is it offers reliable predictability.
Okay. Right? But it also takes you off handler focus.
Yeah, and it gives them a place where they're shooting towards.
Right.
So, yeah, I use one target training for distance work. I use the two target for out work, though.
How?
So, because then I'll have them go around two or three jumps.
Oh, and then they come back to you?
No, they go from one target plate to the other.
Oh, go back and forth. Okay.
Yeah, and so then I can gain some lateral distance from the dog.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
All right, other things that I use one target for. And generally, I do a preload on this one as well, and that is forward focus on the first jump.
Mm-hmm.
So teaching them forward focus. I use single targets for drive lines. So if I'm struggling with getting him to keep going, then put the toy or the single target on the drive line. What else do I use two targets for? Well, the Manners Minder, use a lot of Manners Minder for contact training.
Yeah.
Utilize that. I also, in the past, with Jinx, I used two Manners Minders for tunnel throttles. Mm. So teaching him the basis of a tunnel throttle. So essentially it was come to my hand first, and then if he did... I sent him to one Manners Minder, or if I was sending him without the throttle hand, then he would go to a different Manners Minder. So it was just showing him the difference between what a throttle hand looks like versus what a send hand looks like.
Yeah.
And when I do a throttle hand, I'm using my hand away from my dog, so not my dog arm. I'm using my off arm, taking it towards my dog's nose and asking them to come towards me first and then take whatever obstacle. So I use targets on tunnels a lot for tunnel throttles, for tunnel sends, for distance. There's just a ton of pros to using target plates, using toys, dead toys, versus a reward from your hand.
Yeah.
So here's the only con that I can think of is that it's pretty visible, right? It's a visible target that they either know is there or isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you aren't savvy, then you'll teach them to only perform when it's preloaded or when it's out there and they know it's out there. So I also, even with target plates, I'll leave them out on the field, and now it's a distraction. And I think of it as being a judge or a bar setter, something like those.
Yeah.
Okay. So predictability is one of the key factors in making targets work.
One of the cons of the target plate, though, and this is I'm talking about a preloaded target plate here, is that you have to train them to move away from the food while it's on the plate without them performing the action. So you're putting food down on the plate.
You want them to know it's there.
Right. You want them to know it's there. You want them to know that the plate is there, but they're not allowed to get it. Right. And in those 10 seconds of you putting food down and then walking away and wanting them to follow you, that's where they go and eat the food. And it's very frustrating. And it continues to be like one of the biggest hurdles of target plate training, I think. Once you get over that hurdle, it's brilliant, right? But you have to jump that hurdle. Pun intended.
Well, you have to train.
Yeah, you do.
All right, so it has to be trained. So here are a couple of my rules for training a loaded target plate. First off, specifically train for it. So set up a scenario where you're doing healing or cookie transports, past loaded target plates. And when I first start this, the rewards are in a clear container that is lidded. So the dog learns that just because there's food there doesn't mean that they get to have it. And so teaching them how to just walk past it is the first thing. And when I say walk past it, it's generally the reward, me, dog. So I'm in between to help prevent. And so one, train it. Keep training for that. I call it a not yet. I also call it a hold on, because I want the dogs to know that they're going to get it eventually. And so my leave it, when I say leave it, that means you're never going to get it ever in your life. So don't bother trying. So I think of a leave it as poison, dead animals, something ridiculously gross that they will never, ever get. Whereas my loaded target plates, that is for them. And I want them to know it's for them. And so learning, teaching dogs the reliability of a verbal helps them learn, this one I'm going to get eventually. This one I will never touch. So it's the reliability of understanding you'll get it after you do this.
Right.
Right. Versus a leave it they will never, ever get once I've said that word. They have to walk away from it forever. So when I'm first training this, one, I start with a covered container. Then I move to maybe two dishes on top of each other. So if they grab it, like two baby dishes, and you put the cookie in between the two bowls. So you can easily lift one bowl there and it exposes the cookie. But dogs can grab bowls and flip them. They learn very quickly how to do that. So still teach it, but that's one way to build into that. When you first start this, only put down one cookie. That way, if they do get it, they're not getting much, right? So you can bring more cookies to the party plate, but start by just dropping one cookie. So how do you start that? I would start it by holding my dog's collar and loading a cookie up. And then putting another cookie, a separate cookie, in their nose and body blocking them from the target plate and teaching them that they can come away and get rewarded for coming away from the loaded plate. And then doing something very, very simple in the beginning, maybe even just a sit, and then, okay, get it. So simple training in the early days or preventing them from getting it. And once a dog learns that they can get around you and they're faster than you for the target plate, it gets harder. Every time they win, a loaded target plate gets harder. That doesn't mean you should stop. I still think you should keep trying, but know that for every win that they get without permission, you're about 5 or 7 training structures behind if they don't get it. So it's okay that they accidentally get it, but just know that you're chipping away every time they do, you're chipping away at your future training. So you're just going to have to keep training harder and more reps without getting it rather than just giving up. So,
and you could, to combat that a little bit, you could do a couple of really easy reps for you that you know that you can protect. So I think it's common to, it's not common, I know, that dogs will get your food from your target plate when you've left the plate alone, right? So you've put the plate next to a jump and now you're walking to the other side of it, for example. So instead of doing that, just do something simple that you yourself as a handler can protect, and that'll make it easier for you to get back into that rhythm.
Yeah, and when you're protect it with your body rather than with your hands or your foot.
Don't do it with your foot. Yeah, you'll step on your dog's nose.
Well, it just doesn't work. They're like, what are you doing? So think of it more as preventing somebody in a grocery store line from cutting in front of you.
Right. Right. That's good.
So yeah. How are you going to stop that person from getting around you? You're going to body block them. Right. And so with dogs, we just body block them using our legs. and preventing them by just circling and pretend it's a live animal, right? You can't step on it. You can't grab it, right? How are you going to protect it? How are you going to keep it behind you? And just like wild animals, you go watch any, the mom or the dad or the herd is always trying to put the smaller animal in the center of the ring, and they will keep circling that animal, preventing a predator from getting them, right? So, I mean, sometimes they're not successful, as are we, right, in letting the dogs get the treat. But think of it as preventing the dog from getting a baby animal using your legs rather than your hand or your foot.
The fine line you have to walk with this is you can't be scary. Don't be scary when you're telling them that they can't get the food on the target plate.
Right. Yeah. No, yeah. It's like, yeah, okay, so yeah, don't be scary. Like a child. So a child just learning to walk, how are you going to prevent them from falling down the stairs?
Right. You're not going to yell at them.
How do you do it? Right. Yeah. You can just body block them. You can just keep holding them off. Right. And as they get bigger and stronger, they get more crafty. Right. So, but you could still do it as an adult. Right. And eventually dogs give up. And yeah. So do kids. Right. They do.
Parenting podcast.
They do. So they may try 5 or 6 or 7 times, but on the 8th try or the 9th try, they will give up. And so that's what you want to reward and praise and go, oh, yeah, let's go this way. And then reward them for going whatever direction. So don't let your guard down as you're walking away. Still be ready to prevent them from going backwards.
You just reminded me, one of the biggest, most ginormous building blocks of the preloaded target plate and any target plate ever, you're allowed to have food on your person. So you are allowed to feed the dog even without the target plate being a part of. So I don't know how to explain this. You put food down on the target plate, right? As mom just said, you and the dog both walk away. Reward your dog for walking away from the target plate. Or reward your dog for the sit that they do when they walk away from the target plate.
Yes.
It is not the only source of food that should be in your training, or reward that should be in your training.
Right. Yeah. So you're rewarding them for coming away from what they really want while you're training them to do a jump or a tunnel or whatever. And if they accidentally get it, it really isn't that big of a deal.
No.
So, but just try and set it up better so that they don't get it. Now, I said early on to go ahead and take their collar. One of the crucial moments of learning how to leave a target plate alone is that there is no hand in the collar and they come with you anyway.
Yeah.
Right? So in the early days, go ahead and use their collar to bring them with you, but then let go of their collar and prevent them from going back to the target plate without first doing a jump stanch and a tunnel, blah, 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 right? And they should be offering the jump stanchion or being cued to the jump stanchion rather than being forced to do the jump stanchion, right? We don't want this, if they're, like, I still want this to be a very positive thing. So I don't want dogs fearing what they're going to do in order to get the target plate. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. The other way to do it, so once you've got the you're no longer needing a collar, or your dog doesn't have a collar on at all, one of the ways that I do it is I will put my hand on my dog's chest. So generally thumb is down and I'm holding them back with one hand on their chest and placing the cookie with the other hand. Now, obviously it's a little bit more difficult with bigger dogs, but you can utilize even your arm to just kind of like body block them with your arm, preventing them from crossing over. And if they move to go around your arm, you move as well, right? Just keep moving to prevent your dog from getting the cookie. And then if they hold, you can release them to it. So that's the other thing, is that make sure that you're telling them when they can get it, right? So I use the word get it. That means you are given permission to go get a toy, a cookie, a target plate reward, anything that I know they want, My get it means you're given permission to go get it.
I don't have anything to add. That was like a mic drop moment. That was good. I think there's a ton of Target Plate stuff online as well. So obviously you're listening to a podcast right now, and we're not, or I'm not, the best person ever to do describing of, you know, courses and setups and how Target Plates look and whatnot. If you just look up like dog agility Target Plate training, they're everywhere. I mean, everybody, every trainer ever has a video. And of course you can then take parts of that you like or that you might not like, and implement that into your own training.
Yeah. Yeah, if you watch any of my videos, you'll see Target Plate training all over. Send work, focus work, building value for obstacle work, distance work.
Are you going to put a YouTube link in this podcast description?
Well, I wasn't going to, but I could.
Yeah, maybe just like Vito's game or something, because I think that was really good. That was like a mind-blowing
game. Well, I'll put in a link to my part one of my I think I already did that on the last podcast, but part one of my jumping.
Yeah.
So it's in two parts. You can watch the long version, you can watch the short version. I put both of them up there.
Just because on single obstacle or short obstacle sequences, it can be hard to know where to place the target plate.
On the drive line.
Yes, yes. But if you're a new handler, you might not really know exactly where that is.
The drive line is where you want your dog to go.
Yeah.
So that's your drive line. So if you want them to go straight, it's straight past the obstacle. If you want them to turn, it's in the line of where you want them to turn.
And keep in mind that where you're putting your target plates, the closer it is to, I'm just going to use a jump, for example, but the closer it is to the obstacle, the tighter the turn your dog will make, or the faster they'll stop. So if you want a really tight turn out of a jump, you will put that target plate quite close to the jump stanchion. And if you just want a reward going over the jump itself, you can put the target plate maybe a few feet past.
Yeah, it depends on what kind of jumping arc you're looking for. Yeah. So, yeah. The other one that I use, you mentioned, or when you were talking about that, I thought about extension jumps versus collection jumps. Yeah. I also use targets for my contact training.
Yeah, but specifically running, correct?
No, stop contact.
Oh, so you're for your teeter.
Okay, for my other dogs besides Eli, stop contacts on everything. And then for Eli, I used it as a chin target on the teeter. Okay. In general, I use target plates for stop contacts on dog walk and A-frame.
Okay.
But I'll also teach an extension to a collection on a cattle board with a target plate.
Right.
So that
can mimic the teeter.
Correct.
Right.
All right. Is that everything on targets?
I think so. We didn't really get into contacts that much, but only because running contacts for us are their own beast in and of itself.
Well, I've used, so in the early days of running contact training, I did Vito's game.
Yeah.
And then I transitioned over to Manners Minders.
Yeah.
And now I use toys.
Okay.
So they're dead toys on the drive line of the dog walk. So either straight, right, or left.
And a dead toy is a toy that's not in your hand. It's on the ground, by the way.
Correct. It's where the target plate would be. And I'm not throwing it. Yeah. It's already out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have fun with them. Don't get frustrated if they grab the cookie, but you are smarter. So
figure out. I hope you're smarter.
So figure out a way to body block your dog from getting the target plates. And trust me, eventually they give up. So keep trying, keep preventing them from getting the loaded target plate.
But also don't discourage them. So if it's something that's too hard, for them, so if it's a skill that they've never done before, maybe now is not the time to introduce the target plate. And so I'm assuming that you don't use a target plate, and let's say you also don't do backsides. I wouldn't introduce both at the same time. So I would have the target plate down. We know what a target plate is now for, you know, a week or so. Okay, now let's learn backsides with the target
plate. Start with a simple skill. Yeah. Start with a very simple skill, dog driving straight to the target plate. If they don't see it or they lose track of it. So that's another skill, is learning how to stay tracking the target plate. So you put something down, you walk away from it 50 feet. Can they track back to that same spot? And that is a learned skill. Some dogs are better at it than others. In the beginning, my target plate, if I need my dog to see it, especially when I'm doing some distance stuff, then I'll definitely have the target plate contrasting the surface that I'm working on. So if I'm working on dark dirt, the target plate is white. If I'm working on a light surface, then the target plate is darker. And then the treat is preferably opposite color to the target. But once dogs understand that what a target plate is, you can literally put any color treat on there.
Yeah, they just kind of stick their mouth on it.
And they'll find it. Sometimes the cookies do get lost on the sides in the little crevices of the yogurt lids and stuff. Or I use more cottage cheese lids. So mine are generally 5 inches, 6 inches in diameter.
Yeah, Daisy cottage cheese if you want.
Versus a yogurt lid would be more like 3, 3.5 inches maybe.
Yeah, yogurt, I guess.
Yeah. But I've seen people use discs, dishes.
I used to use my phone. I used to have a white phone, and I'd place it in our grass. And
Your bait pouch could be a target.
Yeah.
Literally anything, something that the dog just wants to drive back to.
Yeah, something that's visible. Because remember, dogs are colorblind. So you want something that's visible, not necessarily colorful, but just something that creates contrast between the ground and the food.
Yeah, they're yellow-blue colorblind.
Yellow-blue colorblind, yeah.
Yeah, so they're not black and white. They're yellow-blue.
Yeah.
Just like a human colorblind.
Humans can be, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
I think that's it.
Nice.
Thank you very much, Emma.
Thanks. We're sitting in the same room shaking hands.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes. Welcome back to the United States, Emma.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Can't wait for you to graduate. All right. Woof, woof.
Woof, woof.